So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm going to read the first 9 verses. We've been reflecting on the fruit of the Spirit, and each week as we've come to one of the fruit of the Spirit, I have been spoilt for choice, really, as to which Bible passage to head up what I reflect upon. And out of the many passages I could have chosen, decided to go for this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, page 1144, reading the first 9 verses. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So reflections on the fruit of the Spirit. Again, as we have done every week, let's read these couple of verses together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Memorable, I hope. The more that we repeat, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And as I have mentioned every week, and I've repeated every week, bearing fruit is an entirely natural process. Trees, various plants, they produce fruit. They just do it as long as they're in the right context. It just happens. It's a natural process. It's a natural process for fruit-bearing plants and trees to bear fruit. And what Scripture encourages us to understand is that for us to bear spiritual fruit, to bear those characteristics in us of the life and character of Jesus, it is an entirely natural process. Now, we might want to quibble with that and say, no, it's a supernatural process. Okay. But my point is, it's really simple and it's down to earth. It's not complicated how we begin to bear the characteristics, the fruit of the Spirit, the characteristics of the life and person of Jesus. As long as we're in the right context. And that means we need to live in Jesus. We need to embed ourselves, root ourselves in Jesus. And as I often do, encourage us to read the Gospels, to read about Jesus, to reflect, to meditate upon his life, his relationships, his teaching, to respond personally every time we read of Jesus, to say, this is my prayer that I might be rooted, embedded in Jesus. And as we do that, we need to grow up in God. We need to put behind us some of the habits that we have, some of our perspectives, some of the ways that we live our life, that when we're teenagers, you know, we see the world, isn't this right? We see the world in a particular way. And you know as well as I do that when I was a teenager, I knew everything. You know, isn't that right? You know, you may not have known everything, but you know, when you're a teenager, that's what you think. But you have to put that away. And you understand, you know, there's the saying, isn't it, the more I know, the more I realize how little I know. And that's been my experience in my spiritual journey. I've understood how vast God is. And I've got to grow up. I've got to put that old thing down. And I know there have been, and as I've shared many, many times, as I have lived as a Christian, as I've lived as someone trying to follow Jesus. And I emphasize that word trying. As I've lived as somebody trying to follow Jesus, I keep tripping up on the teaching of Jesus. Because it's tough. It's countercultural. The teaching of Jesus challenges me to do things that I was not brought up to do. And so I have a choice. Do I grow up in God as I live in Jesus? Or do I become fruitless? You know, and I want to live a life that's worthwhile. And so I need to change some of those perspectives. Some of the ways I think have to be changed. And that's about the growing up in God and the preparedness to do that. And then as part of that, we need to work out his life. That's part of the process. We struggle. We question. We critique. We ask questions. We trust in God and then we doubt God. And then we trust him again and then we doubt him again. And it's all part of the process of seeking to live in Jesus and to follow him closely. And as we do that, and you know, so even saying bearing fruit is an entirely natural process, I hope you understand. Living in Jesus, growing up in God and working out his life, that's a lifetime's task to do that. And just from time to time, there are those beautiful moments where we see in ourselves, or perhaps more particularly we see in others, we see the beauty and the wonder of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And that's a beautiful thing. Faithfulness, exhibiting God's heart. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and today reflecting on faithfulness. Next week, Remembrance Sunday, appropriately gentleness. And then self-control. Begin with this. God is faithful. Why does the Apostle Paul list faithfulness as one of the fruit of the Spirit? What the Apostle Paul is saying is that if you live in Jesus, if you embed yourself and root yourself in Jesus, if you are filled with the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, then one of the characteristics of the life of Jesus will become evident in your life, and that of faithfulness. So that's what Paul, that's how Paul's thinking is going. What do we see in Jesus? We see faithfulness. And yet even then, the Apostle Paul is reflecting, how do we know what God is like? It's a great question. How do we know what God is like? Because he's shown us in Jesus. Isn't that right? How do we know what God is like? And we can read the Bible from cover to cover and seeking to answer the question. Well, the writer to the Hebrews makes it abundantly clear. In these last days, he has revealed to us the Son, the chosen one. Our eyes have been opened and we see in Jesus God more clearly than ever before. And so the Apostle Paul reflects, embedded in Jesus, you will have the faithfulness that was seen in Jesus. It was seen in Jesus because it is evident in God. And it's such a wonderful theme to reflect upon. And I encourage you, how many of us have, either on our phones or on our computers at home, how many of us have got Bibles, you know, digital versions of the Bible? Yeah, no. Okay. Good number of you. An encouragement to do for you to do is to either search for the word faithful or faithfulness, or if you can do, just God is faithful, or God You sometimes can search for two words, God and faithful, or God and faithfulness. And just look at what it throws up. And what becomes clear is that from cover to cover of the Bible, the theme of the faithfulness of God is evident. And as we trace our way through from Genesis, all the way to Malachi, and then Matthew, all the way to Revelation, this truth, this reality, is one that people held on to. Those who were seeking to worship God and to follow Him, they held on to this reality. God is faithful. When the people of God were slaves in Egypt, they cried out to God. They cried out to God for Him to hear. Why? Because they trusted that God is faithful. And God, at the end, will not forget His promises. And when the kingdoms seemed to be failing, established with David and then Solomon and then their successors, when everything seems to be failing, the prophets call the people again, saying, God is faithful. If you turn from your sin, if you turn from worshipping these other gods and come back to the living God, God is faithful. He'll forgive you. And we'll journey together again. And Matthew, Mark, Luke and John all write about Jesus to say so many years have passed. So many of us have forgotten the promises of God. But God is faithful. And here, in this one, as John says, here is the light of the world. The Word of God has become flesh. And this theme we can trace again and again through the Scriptures. God is faithful. And as we embed ourselves in Jesus, we begin to reflect in ourselves faithfulness. Faithfulness. Now, very quickly on my next slide, I want to draw up all sorts of aspects of this faithfulness. So the first is this: called by God. We are faithful to our calling. As we begin to exhibit this fruit, we reflect this, that we are faithful to our calling. So 1 Corinthians, you'll need your Bible open at that passage if you're going to follow this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, again, 11:44 was the page number. How does it begin? Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. And then about halfway down the next paragraph, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All those who are called by God, all those who call on God, are gathered together. And we are called upon, using that word again, to be faithful to our calling. We are, each one of us, are called upon to be faithful to our calling. The Apostle Paul says, I am called. Called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. The Apostle Paul was called to be an apostle. What are you called to? What are you called to? The fruit of faithfulness will be exhibited in our faithfulness to what God has called us to. What is the point of your life? That's a big question, isn't it? What is the point of your life? What has God called you to? It may be something very clear that, for example, as Paul can articulate, an apostle. That's who I am. As I live my whole life, says Paul, to fulfill this calling, to be an apostle, to share the good news of the resurrected Jesus. And it may be very clear for you, this is what I'm called to. But it may be far simpler. If you're married, the first calling upon your life is to honour your partner. to honor your husband or your wife. If you have children, the calling upon your life is to care for your children. That is the calling of God upon you. And I know that as a minister, and sometimes people say, no, your first calling, Ed, is to be a minister. No, it's not. It is to be a husband. It is to be a father. And we're all in those kind of situations. What are you called to? Who are you? What is it that God has called you to? And this fruit of faithfulness will be exhibited in the everyday faithfulness to what God has called us to. The second one I want to highlight is this: committed to church. Committed to church. Paul continues in verse 2, to the church of God in Corinth. Now we know that the church in Corinth was not always a happy place to be. But he says, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, and here it is, called to be his holy people. What God has done, he doesn't just call us as individuals to be an apostle, a priest, an evangelist, to be a husband, to be a wife, to be a son or a daughter, to be an engineer, to be a teacher, or whatever it is that God has called us to be day by day. He also calls us together. Isn't that what God does? He calls us together, called to be his holy people, together with those everywhere.